Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 9th chapter, verses 28 to 38. Verse 28. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, when all the demigods offered him their prayers, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, carrying his weapons, conch shell, disc, and club, appeared first within their hearts and then before them." So what do you remember from morning's class? You weren't there. What do you remember?
Then it was the, for example, mood of Sharanagati.
Okay, the demigods are showing a nice mood of Sharanagati, surrender. Yes, that was there. Sharanagati. Anything else? Yes, leadership. Okay, the picture up here, you cannot cross the ocean by holding on to the tail of a dog. That we learned today. And who are all these fools who are holding the tail of the dog? We learned also.
Scientists.
The scientists, oh, right. Yes.
Although Indra could neutralize the effect of the killing Ravana, he actually took it and suffered for 1 year, but then he redistributed the sins.
Okay, although Indra could neutralize the sinful reaction for killing a Brahman, he accepted the suffering for 1 year and then he distributed it to 4 different classes of living entities. Anything else? The earth, yes. Trees, yes?
But the seed of killing Brahma Bhakti was remained in his subtle body.
Right. Okay, we heard from. Right. So we heard this was from the commentary of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that although he could neutralize the sinful reactions of earth, water, and the elements of his body of earth, water, fire, and air by distributing it to 4 classes of beings, and ether didn't have to be neutralized, but these subtle reactions that were in the subtle body, he could not neutralize, and they remained in his false ego, and they later sprouted as an offense desiring to kill Vritrasura. Yes, Panamali?
Fear brings one surrender. Like
fear brings surrender to Krishna. So Vritrasura looked like fear personified, or time, to the demigods. So this fear, when they got this fear, then they immediately took shelter of the Supreme Lord. And the pious person, if he's in distress, he takes shelter of the Lord. So anything else? Yes, Madan Gopal. Yes, we had a confusing discussion, or there was some confusion this morning, about who is a Sakam devotee. Yes, and the demigods were considered Sakam, but according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, nobody is a Sakam. And the conclusion is, it's according to who's the commentator, who is a Sakam devotee. Even Krishna, he makes the classification of Sakam in Bhagavad Gita. And of those, he picks out the Jnani as the best. So I'll tell you what Urijan Prabhu says. He talks about Vritrasura. Vritra means one who can cover. He can cover the entire universe. So he swallowed all the demigods' weapons. So they are taking shelter of the Lord. And this is what pious people do when they're in trouble. But although pious people do this, when you're in distress, it's not pure devotion, because they want to remove distress. But still, they are magnanimous souls. So we came to the conclusion that even if you are a mixed devotee, it's best to take shelter of Krishna. If you're in distress, don't go other places. Don't go anywhere else. So this is our shelter. And now the Lord is appearing as Hari. What does Hari mean?
He
takes away. So what is he going to take away?
Yeah.
Fear of the demigods. Very good. So verse 29 and 30. Surrounding and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, were 16 personal attendants decorated with ornaments and appearing exactly like him, but without the mark of Shivatsa and Kaustubhaju. O King, when all the demigods saw the Supreme Lord in that posture, smiling with eyes like the petals of lotuses grown in autumn, they were overwhelmed with happiness and immediately fell down like rods, offering dandavats. Then they slowly rose and pleased the Lord by offering him prayers. Verse 31. Well, again, now the demigods, this happens a lot. You see, the devotees, they pray for the Lord to appear. They offer many nice prayers. Then the Lord appears. And then they offer many more nice prayers after the Lord appears. So we heard the first set of prayers this morning. And we heard, what did we hear? What was the course? Mood was Sharanagati. But also at the same time, they were expecting something from the Lord. What were they expecting? The demigods. Sankirtan.
The Lord will protect them.
Lord will protect them. Yes. And he, and yes?
As Poshanam?
Yes, as Poshanam. Poshanam, yes. Ten topic, okay. Poshanam. And they wanted him to incarnate as an incarnation. They mentioned so many incarnations. So, and you know, and so in this incarnation you did this demon, and now here's a demon. So you should incarnate, and you should take care of this demon. But actually, he appears, but he's not going to incarnate. He's going to do it his way. And it's not going to be through his own incarnation, he'll do it through Indra. Sometimes we pray to the Lord and we want him to do it, everything, and we don't have to do anything. And so the demigods were a little bit like that. They were hoping that the Lord would appear as an incarnation and remove this Vritrasura, and they don't have to think about it anymore. But actually, he's appearing, but it's going to be in a different way. So, now their prayers, second set of prayers, verse 31. Namaste yagyaviryaya vayase uttate nama namaste yastchakraya nama supuruhuttaye. The demigods said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are competent to give the results of sacrifice, and you are also the time factor that destroys all such results in due course. You are the one who releases the chakra to kill the demons, O Lord, who possesses many varieties of names. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So again, there's a little hint here. Here we have a demon, and you have a chakra. So how about releasing your chakra for this demon? Again, they're still like giving suggestions here. Like this morning, we were hearing lots of nice suggestions how the Lord should incarnate. Now we're hearing again what the demigods want. Yatte gatinam tisrinam ishitu paramam padam narvachina visargasya dhattaved tumati. O Supreme Controller, you control the three destinations, promotion to heavenly planets, birth as a human being, and condemnation in hell. Yet, your supreme abode is Vaikuntha Dham. Since we appeared after you created this cosmic manifestation, your activities are impossible for us to understand. We therefore have nothing to offer you but our humble obeisances. So again, what is the verse in Bhagavad Gita which confirms that the demigods do not know? 10-2. Naham prakasha sarvasya also. Aham adir hi devanam. 10-2. Yes, therefore they do not know because he came before. So verse 33, I'll just read, not the whole Sanskrit, a little bit. Yeah, now they're going to switch. So we won't read all of these, but we'll just read the first little bit of the first one. It's kind of nice. Om namaste stu bhagavan narayana vasudeva adipurusha mahapurusha mahanubhava paramamangala paramakayana paramakarunika. That's as far as I'll go. And I'll say the English. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Narayana, O Vasudeva, original person, O most exalted person, supreme experience, welfare personified, O supreme benediction, supremely merciful and changeless. So they want all these things. We want welfare, we want benediction, we want your mercy. O support of the cosmic manifestation, sole proprietor of all planetary systems, master of everything and husband of the goddess of fortune, your lordship is realized by the topmost sannyasis who wander about the world to preach Krishna consciousness, fully absorbed in samadhi through bhakti yoga. Because their minds are concentrated upon you, they can receive the conception of your personality in their fully purified hearts. When the darkness in their hearts is completely eradicated and you are revealed to them, the transcendental bliss they enjoy is the transcendental form of your lordship. No one but such persons can realize you. Therefore, we simply offer you our respectful obeisances. So what does this mean? The transcendental bliss they enjoy is the transcendental form of your lordship. His form is Satchidananda, then?
So, bliss is his form.
Bliss is his form. So, when they experience bliss, that's the form of the Lord. Okay, one way of looking at it. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. And then you can also do it the opposite way. When they see the form of the Lord, they experience bliss. The form of the Lord is bliss. So, when they see the form in their heart, then they experience bliss. Mahavindrapuri? Third canto. Yes, Tvam Bhakti Yoga. Yes. Right. So you appear in the form that the devotees worship you. In the form they worship you. Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita Hrit Saroja. Shitapato Nanu Pa. I forgot the rest of it. Good. Okay, some of you remember it. Good. Verse 34, O Lord, you need no support, and although you have no material body, you do not need cooperation from us. Since you are the cause of the cosmic manifestation, and you supply its material ingredients without being transformed, you create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation by yourself. Nevertheless, although you appear engaged in material activity, you are transcendental to all material qualities. Consequently, these transcendental activities of yours are extremely difficult to understand. So, what examples here? He says you don't need our help. So, what are the examples when the Lord didn't need the help from the demigods? What examples? Sankirtan. Okay, when the earth is in trouble, the demigods go and get help from the Lord, okay? Yeah. Right now they're looking for help from the Lord. What's the example of the opposite when the Lord doesn't need help? Lord isn't in trouble, but something happens and then... Or the demigods don't help, yeah? He didn't need help to create Brahma. He didn't need a wife. Okay, that's a good example. Yes? Prithu, yes?
Rain.
Prithu and also Rishabdev.
Rishabdev
and Prithu. When there was no rain, then they had made rain come. Prithu and Rishabdev. Priyavrata, that's okay, well that's, yeah. That's a devotee of the Lord. Even devotee is powerful. He didn't need, yeah. He created sun. Yeah, he duplicated the sun. Krishna Lila. Govardhan Lila, yes, yes. He doesn't need. Though her purport Prabhupada says, Brahma Samhita says, Goloka eva nivasata kila mabhuta. Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always situated in Goloka Vrindavan. It is also said, Vrindavanam parityaja param ekam nagacchati. Krishna never goes even a step from Vrindavan. So this is another aspect of Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. He's always in Vrindavan. He doesn't go out. At the same time, he's everywhere. Nevertheless, Prabhupada says, although Krishna is situated in his own abode, Goloka Vrindavan, he is simultaneously all-pervading and is therefore present everywhere. This is very difficult for a conditioned soul to understand. The devotees can understand how Krishna, without undergoing any changes, can simultaneously be in his abode and be all pervasive. So how is that? We understand, right? We're devotees. How can Krishna be in his abode and be everywhere at the same time? Madhvanpur? Ekadesha Shitasyagne.
Acha.
Right. Just as the fire emanates heat and light all around, but it's situated in one place. Parasya Brahmana Shakti. So the Lord's in one place, but his energies are going everywhere. He's emanating from him. Okay, that's a good example. The fire, like the fire, or like the sun, Prabhupada would give. Example, Vanmali? Okay.
Some
businessmen, right.
Sit in their house, through cell phone, they will do all the devices.
Okay, a businessman in his house has his cell phone and he's doing everything. And he's not moving, he just has the phone. I've been in India at some very, very rich people's office and they're sharing a desk with another person. They have a phone and the other person has a phone. And that's it. That's the extent of their office in Calcutta. I've been to these people. And it looks like, you know, who are they? But actually they have so much money. Tons.
Lord is expanding himself. He's going to them.
What? Who is that?
He's expanding.
Yes. He's expanding himself. All right. Sankirtan? Yes, he's also in Gokul and he's also in Goloka and he's also... Not only the energy. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what Prabhupada seems to mean here in this purport. He's all pervading at the same time. He's in Goloka. Yes?
Yeah, I heard of this thing called a hologram.
Hologram, yeah. I think so.
It's
I haven't heard that, yeah.
Like the cauliflower, for example. You cut it. The piece of the cauliflower is the same structure as the whole piece.
Okay, so it's a hologram. If you cut it, it has the same structure as the whole. So it never becomes part. It's always whole. Okay, yes?
Totally.
Right, so even the mystic yogis can do this. One soul and many expansions, some expansions. So the soul may remain in one place and expansions may be in other places. So even the yogis, yes? That's what. Right, impersonal feature.
His
original form is in Golok and his impersonal feature is everywhere. But also, Sankirtan brought up the point that his personal feature is also in Gokul. And there's another place besides Golok and Gokul. Huh? Mayapur, of course.
Dwaraka.
Puri, where else? Mathura, where else? Jagannath Puri, where else? Vaikuntha, where else?
Badrinath.
You're not getting it. The heart of the pure devotee. Heart of the pure devotee. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Also, Garabhita, Tirtha Kurvanti Tirtani, Santastena Garabhita. He's in the heart of his pure devotee. He says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the yogis. I forgot. What did I say? Tirti Sarant. The first one was from Mahabharata. Tarka Pratishto Shutayovi Binam Nasavisha Yasya Mata Nabinam Tarmasya Tatam Nihitam Gohaya. Mahajano Yena Katas Panta. That you cannot find the truth in the Shruti because there's so many Shrutis. And you cannot find it from the Rishis. They all have a different idea. You cannot find it by argument. Only in the heart of the pure devotee we find the truth, dharma, dharma. So therefore, we should follow the path of the Mahajans. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. And then the other one was from Bhagavatam, first canto, 1:13:10. Tirti kurvanti tirtani swantasena gadabhita. Huh? Bhavadvidha bhagavatas. Okay, so let's go in the purport. At the end of the purport, I think it's the end, near the end, about the Mayavadis. According to Mayavad philosophy, the supreme truth, being all-pervasive, does not need a transcendental form. The Mayavadis suppose, since his form is distributed everywhere, he has no form. This is untrue. The Lord keeps his transcendental form. At the same time, he extends everywhere in every nook and corner of the material creation. So the Mayavadis, they say, God doesn't need a form. Now we say he needs a form. Why does he need a form? I mean, why does he have a form or need a form? What is the purpose of having a form?
Because he's a person.
Because he's a person, okay? He's a person. So a person needs form. A person has form. But what is the use of his personal form? You can see him, okay? What else?
You can perform different activities.
Seva, you can do seva. You can.
He takes pleasure.
He's happy. He gets pleasure from. Eko baho syam. Yes.
He can manifest different qualities.
Qualities, yes. Qualities and rasa. For rasa. Raso vaisaha. Relationship. That's why he has form. The Mayavadis, they don't want relationship because they think it's maya. Relationship is maya. But Krishna, he wants relationship. Yes. Akila Vesamrita Murti. So Prabhupada, he explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, 5th chapter, verse 40, about the difference between spiritual and material actions, that the Lord, he doesn't need help to create. He can do it simply by his willing. In fact, he doesn't even have to appear to create. He can just glance, he can just will. That's how he creates. Satya Sankalpa. So the demigods are appreciating this fact, that he doesn't need their help. But he creates through the demigods as well. He maintains through the demigods. So then there's another point about how Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. That is... You're looking for that quote? It's right, isn't it? Right here in the purport. Vrindavanam paritaja paramekam nagachiti. It's right in the first sentence, second sentence of the purport here. Vrindavanam paritaja paramekam nagachiti. Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So Prabhupada, in Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 1st chapter, verse 20, Prabhupada quotes Narottam Das Thakur, that just what you said, Mayapur, Shigora mandalabhumi jeva jane chintamani tarahai bajabhumi vash. This is 10, 1, 20, purport, that he lives in Mathura Vrindavan and Mayapur, non-different. So anyone who lives in Navadvip, knowing Krishna and Lord Chaitanya to be the same, lives in Vrajabhumi, Mathura Vrindavan. So then, another one place that Prabhupada talks about this is in teachings of Queen Kunti, in his lecture in verse 27. He talked about this, how Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and Kunti was praying for Krishna not to leave the Pandavas. The Prabhupada said that actually Krishna never left the Pandavas, just like he never left Vrindavan. So he knows he never goes one step from Vrindavan. So how is it that we see Krishna left Vrindavan? Prabhupada asked that question. If he says, I never go one step, how is it he went to Mathura? Yes, Madhavendrapuri.
Well, as you know, when
he reached Akura Ghat. And Vasudev Krishna manifested
from
Shamsundar. Okay, so Sankarshan Balaram and Vasudev Krishna carried on to Mathura. And the two original, they stayed. And how did they stay? Vanamali. And the heart of the gopis. Uprakat. Just like we were saying, he lives in the heart of his devotees. So he stayed in the heart of all his devotees. Yes? He was living in the forest of Vrindavan.
He would come and take it, but they thought this is mirage.
Mirage.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would actually eat everything, but they were in the mood.
So they would cook and offer it to Krishna. He was living in the forest. He would come and take, but they thought, oh, we're just seeing mirage. Because they were in a crazy state of mind after Krishna left. So it's very difficult to distinguish what is reality and what is in your mind. Satchimata, yes? Ah, same thing. In Chaitanya Lila, Satchimata was offering to Lord Chaitanya, he would come and eat, and she wouldn't see him, but and she thought, oh no, maybe I forgot to cook. And she would go back and cook again, and Lord Chaitanya would come and eat. And so these things are happening. It's not what? 10-1-0, oh, that's what I have. Look around. 19, 21, around there. But yeah, sometimes I look it up and it goes the verse before or after, so it's hard to figure out. It's around there. What is it? Okay. So, my version is different from your version, maybe. You can look it up under, let's see, which one? Oh, you're looking up 10-1-1, yeah. Vrajabhumi. Look under Vrajabhumi. Refers to Mathura Vrindavan. Vrajabhumi. Yeah. It's a quote from Narottam Das Thakur, Vrajabhumi Bhash. Yeah. 10th canto here, I've got first chapter, verse 20, Vrajabhumi. Okay, verse 35. These are our inquiries. The ordinary conditioned soul is subject to material laws. He thus receives the fruits of his actions. Does your lordship, like an ordinary human being, exist within this material world in a body produced by the material modes? Do you enjoy or suffer the good or bad results of actions under the influence of time, past work, and so forth? So here they're asking, do you get karma? They're talking to the Lord. Do you suffer? Do you exist in a body produced by the modes? Do you enjoy or suffer? Or on the contrary, are you present here only as a neutral witness who is self-sufficient, free from all material desires, and always full of spiritual potency? We certainly cannot understand your actual position. So here the Lord is face to face, and they still don't understand. They can't figure it out. That's how we were with Prabhupada. He would be face to face, and we just stare at him and try to figure out, where is he? And didn't look. He didn't look like he was in the world. You know, if you look at him like from far, you just watch and watch and watch and try to figure out. You couldn't figure out anything. Yeah. Well, they're demigods, you know. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes they go, well, that was a big emergency. So they went to the. Just by praying, yes. For empowerment. Yeah. You can find examples in Bhagavatam. When the demigods pray, the Lord appears. There is, I think in the 8th canto you'll find they'll be having trouble with the demons and they pray and then the Lord appears and tells them what to do. Yeah.
It's in the first chapter of Krishna book.
First chapter of Krishna book.
Hmm.
When there is a disturbance on their planet, they can see Lord Brahma. And Brahma goes to the ocean of milk. And he gets through the heart, the instructions. And gives to the demigods. In most cases, like this. This time, they just prayed directly. And we saw before, they went to Lord Brahma when they were in trouble with their guru. They went to Lord Brahma. And when they were in trouble with Lord Shiva, they went to Lord Brahma. Usually, sometimes they go to Lord Brahma, sometimes they just pray directly. So now they're praying directly, yes? Yeah, Gajendra, he said some prayers as well. I think so, a whole chapter of prayers. He was really in trouble. Immediate. So the Lord had to come immediately. He was ready to die. He was already in the clutches of the. Yeah, he was very desperate. The demigods, they're not so urgent, but still.
What makes you say that he's physically present?
It said the Lord appeared in verse 28, as far as I see here. First in their hearts, and then he appeared before them. In verse 28. Yeah. Became visible. Abhut Avi. the Lord hearing his appeared first within their hearts and then before them. So he was right face to face. And they were saying their prayers to him face to face. So even though he's face to face, they don't understand. They think, do you suffer? Do you get karma? What, you know, what's going on? We don't understand. Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be. They said, well, maybe it's your spiritual or neutral, or maybe you suffer karma, or, you know, what? They're just innocent, you know. Not innocent, but anyway, you know, you wonder. Sometimes you wonder. Yes.
It seems that one will get more benefit from the material than many times, but in case with his very dear devotees, like Narada Muni and Guru, he just appeared for a few seconds and never did it again to increase their
right. Yeah, actually the demigods see him quite frequently. They see him a lot. They perform sacrifice, they see him, or they pray, they see him. From Shirdakshai Vishnu, everyone comes. Everyone comes. This one? I don't know. Well, usually it's from Shirdakshai Vishnu. So we have to probably check the commentaries for that. Does it say anything, Adi Purush, and who this is here? Which incarnation? Usually, if you read Bihad Bhagavatamrita, there's an incarnation that who is accessible and comes to the demigods quite often and accepts their offerings. One of the is Shirdakshai, Garbhadakshai, Vishnu usually comes. Yes.
It's not so necessarily those who are the closest to the loving object who are the most intimate. Just like,
right.
For instance, those who are very close to the Queen of England may not be the most loving.
Okay, he's saying that it's not necessary that the closest people to someone are the most intimate.
Yes.
Yes.
But they are all government officials.
Right. So the demigods. Yeah. So you're saying that the demigods are having a more of an official relationship with the Lord. They may see him a lot, but they're not that close. Right. It's not so loving. Yes. Yes.
Yudhishthira having so much faith, he's telling, use this weapon, you can kill me.
But yes, yes.
Indra is still, he's
doubtful. Well, it didn't work the first time. Yes, he dropped it. Yes, we'll see the difference between Sakam devotee and Akam. But the interesting thing is they're in the opposite bodies. The demon is the Akam. And the devotee, the Sura, the demigod is the Sakam devotee. The pure devotee is the demon, Vritrasura.
Indra understood it.
Yeah, Indra understands.
Yes,
he understood that. And then he didn't want to kill him. Vritrasura was saying, no, do it, do it. Preaching to Indra. Okay, so verse in the purport of 35, about 5-6 lines down. When a conditioned soul gives relief to others, he acts piously. And when he gives trouble to others, he acts impiously. But the Lord is neither pious nor impious. He is always full in his spiritual potency, by which he shows equal mercy to the punishable and the protectable. So Prabhupada's making sure we don't misunderstand these verses here. He's giving us the answer. No, he's not affected. The Lord is a papa vitam. He's never contaminated by the reactions of so-called sinful activities. When Krishna was present on this earth, he killed many inimical non-devotees, but they all received sarupya. In other words, they return to their original spiritual bodies. So how is that for impartiality? His enemies, he gave sarupya, liberation, in the same form. One who does not know the Lord's position says that God is unkind to him, but merciful to others. So we often hear this complaint about God. People have complaints that why he's so unfair. He's giving things to everybody except me. I'm his devotee. He should give to me. Why not me? Lakshmi says that. Yes. He's giving his association to everyone but me. I'm his wife. I should get more association. And so, yes. A verse. Yes. They don't even ask. Right. They just accept.
even if it's offered by Krishna, they will feel.
They were this because we will see that next canto with Prahlad Maharaj. He's offered everything, and he doesn't accept. Abhaya? Okay, so he's saying there, it's a pastime. Last life there must have been some kind of devotee, and now they're getting. It was true in the Battle of Kurukshetra to some extent, because Krishna's army was fighting against Krishna. So to some extent it was like that. The Samsaptakas, which are all killed by Arjuna, were Krishna's army. So, and in that sense, it was like that. But even the ones who weren't in Krishna's army, they also got liberation on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But yes, to some extent, just to be able to see Krishna face to face is quite an opportunity. Yes. Yeah, those who are envious and mischievous, they're cast down to demoniac species. Yeah, sometimes Krishna is merciful to the demon by killing him. So this it depends what kind of demon you are. If you we'll see that in seventh canto. Yes, if you blaspheme the Lord, then it's not as bad as blaspheming the devotee. If you're against the devotee, then you go down to the lowest. But Shishupala, it was Krishna. Yeah, he was blaspheming Krishna. So better, if they blaspheme Krishna, they have a chance. Yes, aho bakiyam stanakala kutam, like putana. But if you blaspheme the devotee, then forget it. You're lost. Yes. According to faith, yes. According to Shraddha, you have your advancement in Krishna consciousness.
The demons sometimes, even though they fight with Lord, they have faith. Lord is existent, the Lord can do it, and so many things.
Right. Even the demons, they fight with the Lord, they have faith in Him. It says that nectar of devotion.
That's why they get the advancement.
So they get advancement, right. Okay, verse 36. This is an interesting verse. It's all about contradictions. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all contradictions can be reconciled in you. O Lord, since you are the Supreme Person, the reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities, Supreme Controller, your unlimited glories are inconceivable to the conditioned souls. Many modern theologians argue about right and wrong without knowing what is actually right. Their arguments are always false and their judgments inconclusive because they have no authorized evidence with which to gain knowledge of you. Because their minds are agitated by scriptures containing false conclusions, they are unable to understand the truth concerning you. Furthermore, because of polluted eagerness to arrive at the right conclusion, their theories are incapable of revealing you, who are transcendental to their material conceptions. So these are all the reasons why argument doesn't work. You are one without a second, and therefore in you, contradictions like doing and not doing, happiness and distress are not contradictory. Your potency is so great it can do and undo anything as you like. With the help of that potency, what is impossible for you? Since there is no duality in your constitutional position, you can do everything by the influence of your energy. So when I read this verse, I was going over it yesterday, it reminded me of a verse in the Hansaguya prayers. And that was 6.4.31. So I'll just read that verse. Echakteo varatam varinam vai vivara samvara bhuva pahanti parvanti chai samvaratma moham tasmai namo nanta gunaya punne. I offer respectful obeisances to the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities. Acting from within the cores of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views, he causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. So he's the one in the heart, and he's making this one say this and this one say that. He's dictating different things from within the heart. So then I had another verse from, it's a reference, 11, 22, 5 or 4. 11:22:5, you can try. And this is Krishna talking to Uddhava. He's telling Uddhava, when philosophers argue, I don't choose to analyze this particular case in the same way you have. Krishna says, it is simply my own insurmountable energies that are motivating their analytic disagreements. So this is the Lord's potency. And this is, and Hridayananda, or whoever did the purport, they say, because of the material potencies of the Lord, mundane philosophers are perpetually arguing which came first, the chicken or the egg. So he's going, one example. They can't decide which came first, the chicken or the egg. First, or you must have an egg first, because without an egg you can't have a chicken. Or some say, no, you have to have a chicken, because without a chicken you can't have an egg. So where will the argument end? So these different arguments, they're being dictated by the Lord himself, the Lord's energy. So, yes, Madhavendra Puri. Dashmula. Viruta Banjika Shakti in Dashmula. There's a Shakti that removes all contradictions. Reconciles all contradictions. Okay? There's one Shakti of Krishna that reconciles all contradictions. Okay, that's nice to know. And which one? Viruta. Viruta. Panjika Shakti. Okay.
Who's getting the benefit of the Shakti?
These ones who like to argue. Yes, well. The devotees see no contradictions, Prabhupada says. So only the devotees can get benefit of this one. The others, they just keep arguing because their fun is in the argument. They don't care what the truth is, actually. They just want to argue and win. They don't care what is vad. They just want to make their vad first. Yes. Yes, argue. Lord Chaitanya would argue from one side, then he would defeat that side and go to the other side, then he would go back again and defeat the other side. Viruta, oh, Panjika, Shakti, remove all contradictions. And I have a verse here which explains what is true philosophical speculation, because these people, they're engaged in mental speculation, arguing one after the other. And this verse is Canto 12, Chapter 6, Verse 30 and 31, it says, there exists a supreme reality in which the illusory energy cannot fearlessly dominate, thinking, I can control this person because he's deceitful. And the highest reality, there are no illusory argumentative philosophies. Rather, there, the true students of spiritual science constantly engage in authorized spiritual investigation in that supreme reality. There is no manifestation of the material mind which functions in terms of alternating decision and doubt. This is 12:6:30-31. Created material products, subtle causes, and the goals of enjoyment attained by their utilization do not exist there. Furthermore, in that supreme reality, there is no conditioned spirit covered by false ego and three modes of nature. That reality excludes everything limited or limiting. One who is wise should therefore stop the waves of material life and enjoy within that supreme truth. That's 12th canto. So something interesting in this purport I found, that the Lord enjoys happiness in two ways. What are the two ways the Lord enjoys happiness? When distress comes and when happiness comes. Those are the two ways he enjoys happiness. Yes?
By killing and protecting.
Okay, well, that wasn't exactly what Prabhupada said, but what's that? Okay. Maybe. Meeting and separation, yes. So in the beginning, Prabhupada says, Supreme Personality of Godhead, being self-sufficient, is full of transcendental bliss, Atmarama. He enjoys bliss in two ways, when he appears happy and when he appears distressed. So that's the two ways the Lord enjoys happiness. Distinctions and contradictions are impossible in him, because only from him have they emanated. So in a few lines down, we should not be astonished to find contradictions in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are no contradictions. That is the meaning of his being supreme. And when I was in Mayapur this summer, Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj was lecturing on this question, and he said something I found very interesting. He was saying that in Vaikuntha, there are no contradictions. But if you go to Goloka, it's full of contradictions. So I thought that was an interesting statement. Because in Goloka, you know, he's wearing gunjamala, he's playing in the dirt and whatever. Of course, it's not ordinary dirt, but still, here's the Supreme Lord, and he's playing with no shoes on. But in Vaikuntha, of course, it's very strict and awe and reverence, and he is the Supreme Lord, no contradictions. Yes, the contradiction comes when he takes the position of subordinate to his devotee. So this is the contradiction that people don't understand. Yeah, they don't understand this. Yeah, so he's the Lord. How can he have a father, a mother, and how can they chastise him? And how can they force him to carry the father's shoes? Yes. Contradiction is on the level of rasa. Okay? Level of rasa. Of course, there is some rasa in Vaikuntha as well. There is some rasa there. It's a different, it's dasya and sakya, a little, not sakya, mixed, everything mixed with dasya. Dasya ras. Okay, let's go, we're in the purport here. So, he is pleased to protect, yeah, here's what you said, Vanamali. He is not subject to the conditioned soul's arguments regarding his existence or non-existence. He is pleased to protect his devotees by killing their enemies. He enjoys both killing and protecting. Such freedom from duality applies not only to the Lord, but also to his devotees. In Vrindavan, damsels of Vrindabhumi enjoy transcendental bliss in the company of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And they feel the same transcendental bliss in separation when Krishna and Balaram leave Vrindavan for Mathura. There is no question of material pains or pleasures for either the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his pure devotees, although they are sometimes superficially said to be distressed or happy. One who is Atmarama is blissful in both ways. So something for us to look forward to. Now when we're distressed, we're distressed. We're unhappy. And when we're happy, we're happy. So this is different. Because what is the difference? They have in this world and in that world. What is the difference in the happiness? Yes, here in this world, happiness means that you finally got rid of your distress, and now you're happy.
Less distress is seen as happiness.
It's temporary.
Less distress is
the or less distress. Even that you didn't get rid of your distress, but you got less distress. Your distress is less. That's happiness. Yeah, and you get your sukh, your happiness is chapala, it's flickering. Yes. Yes. Yes, actually when there's no distress, people get bored. And so they go and create their enjoyments. And then the enjoyments, or even the even distress, they look for. They even create distress to alleviate the boredom. They go for Ferris wheel. Yeah, Ferris wheel. Yeah, you go up. Yes. Yes, relief when you get off. Yes, it's really a good example. You're on the Ferris wheel and you're dying, and you think, "Wow, yeah, I'm enjoying, but I can't wait to get off." You get down. Whoa, okay, that's really good. And you have to work hard to get money to go on the Ferris wheel. And sometimes, yeah, it breaks, right? It breaks. Five people die, yes. Especially in India, you don't want to go on the Ferris wheel. Electricity goes off, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah, no, Vrindavan, don't do it, yeah. Hare Purush. Even the fools are looking for?
Even in food, our food.
Oh, our food.
Spice.
Okay, we're looking for In the food, we're looking for a spice. You put pungent or salty or bitter or sour. Yes, even in the food. Yes.
I have a question. So
yeah.
It's demigods. I just asked Petty Bush probably. He's saying they have no rasa with the Lord. They're not even Shantaras.
In Shantaras, they have no rasa? Sakam devotees. Okay, yeah, they don't have Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana. Okay, they cannot understand Thuru Rasa, okay? I think in Nectar of Devotion, demigods are given example as an example of something, but I don't know, I can't remember what. They're an example of something in relationship to Krishna. Look it up in Nectar of Devotion. Yes? Too bad our teacher's not here. In the material world, we're taking happiness from external. In the spiritual world, we're taking... Right. It's different enjoyment. You don't think the demigods have dasya ras? I don't know.
The question would be of ruchi, rati, or...
Oh, on what level of ruchi, rati, asakti? Okay, if you look on the level of ruchi and... asakti and all these things, and it seems they're not such a high level of rasa. We know that Lord Brahma is from the Brahma Samhita prayers. That Brahma has his rasa. But the others, we don't know. Yes? Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Okay, according to Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Vanamali Prabhu says, from Prahlad starts pure devotional service. And the demigods are below that. Indra, Brahma, Shiva. They're all below Prahlad. Isn't he below Prahlad?
Yeah, yeah.
He's Vaishnavanam.
Of course, he's Vaishnavanam, Yathashambhu. Yes.
Prahlad, then Hanuman.
Prahlad, Hanuman.
Then Pandavas.
Yeah, Lord Shiva has a ras. For sure. He has a ras. Yes. He's always absorbed in meditation. Yes, he's in Gaura Lila, Krishna Lila. So he's there. He's there. Yeah, he's protector. He's definitely in the service mood. Dasya Ras. Yes. Indra got love of God from Lord Chaitanya? Really? Where? Of course, this happened after this Lila. So... Lord Indra did make it finally because Lord Chaitanya came.
Shiva is there. Shiva Narada.
Yeah, Shiva Shuka Narada. Indra is not there. Yeah, Shiva Shuka Narada. Shiva, Lord Shiva is there. Shuka and Brahma. Brahma is there. Oh, he cried from all the eyes. Yes. Do you have a reference for us so we can? Your guru, okay. Your Guru Maharaj? Jab Chakma. Oh, he would know. Acha. Okay, Lord Indra did get it. Hopefully. Yes. And it did say, actually, even in. I read a purport recently from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It said that they all came down, Lord Indra, and everyone came. That was actually in one of these purports, the one about Narada Muni, and how Narada's chanting and everyone's coming along with him. Was Indra in that group of kirtan party? Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva was there. Remember that purport? Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina. I don't remember which verse is that. Oh, it's in the fifth chapter. I don't have it with me here. In the fifth chapter. No. Sixth canto, fifth chapter. There's a song of Narada Muni, remember that? Yeah, we just read that, and I think Indra may be there in that Sankirtan party. Yes? Yes, they're approaching for help.
They're very distressed. And it's very difficult to mix simultaneously different feelings.
Yes, difficult to mix
friendship, love.
But their prayers are in awe and reverence. Awe and reverence. So what does it say there?
6522.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says,
yeah.
Okay, the king gradually joins with great satisfaction. Indra. He's dancing and shouting Hari Bol. So Indra is also there in the kirtan party. He is not left out. Of course, this lila took place before Lord Chaitanya came. So everyone got the mercy when Lord Chaitanya came. Of course, no, that was Narada Muni actually singing on his veena. And in that particular, he got the mercy of Narada. Okay. Yes, so. But we don't want to offend Lord Indra now, so we just be careful what we say in this class. Yes. What's it? Huh? Tejiyasam Nadoshaya, yes. Indra is one of the great controllers here. But, yes. Or how are we understanding the demigod's darshan of the Lord? They're seeing face to face. By, from his mercy. By his mercy he has appeared. See, it's, he can appear, it's his sweet will. So he's pleased with their prayers and he's appearing. Just, it's his desire to show mercy. Yeah. Yeah, that also is part of the pastime, Vritrasura pastime. It's unfolding. It's unfolding. Yes. It's part of the drama of the Vritrasura pastime. Actually, the hero is not going to be the Lord. It's going to be Vritrasura and Indra. Well, there will be the heroes. You can decide. They're the main players. You can decide who is the hero after hearing the whole story. And decide which one is the hero of the story. So, here it says in one of the paragraphs, last paragraph, non-devotees cannot understand the contradictions present in the Supreme Lord or His devotees. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Bhakti Amama Vijanati, transcendental pastimes can be understood through devotional service. True non-devotees, they are inconceivable. Achinta kalule bhava, Natams Tarkena Yojayet. The Supreme Lord and His form, name, pastimes, and paraphernalia are inconceivable to non-devotees, and one should not try to understand such realities simply by logical arguments. They will not bring one to the right conclusion about the absolute truth. So there's an example in 10th canto when Krishna showed His universal form to Mother Yashoda. First she was started to figure it out logically. Is it a dream? Or is it this illusory creation of the external energy? Or is this my mind? Or is it some mystic power of my child? So first she tried to logically figure it out. Then she said, okay, I just surrender. I surrender to the Supreme Lord, offer my obeisances. He's beyond all the conception of speculation, mind, activities, words, and arguments. And He is the cause. He's beyond my contemplation, speculation, and meditation. So Prabhupada says we should not try to understand the cause by argument or reasoning. When we have some problem, we should only surrender to the Lord. We have no alternative than to surrender. So then verse 37. Actually, I had a question. What was the question? Contradictions? Oh, yes. Here it says in the last paragraph, non-devotees cannot understand the contradictions present in the Lord or His devotees. What contradictions do we see in a devotee? Now we know the contradictions of the Lord. He walks, He does not walk. He's fast, He's slow, He's this, He's that. He's born, He's not born. Yes? He's what? Okay, a devotee appears like a materialist. So what's the contradiction then? Internally, he's serving Krishna. Okay, that's, yes. He may be so renounced, but all so much opulence comes to him and surrounds him. Oh, here's a contradiction, yes. We know we're not the body, but we take such good care of the body, better than materialistic people sometimes. Yes, good, yes. Even if a devotee falls down, we should not consider him fallen, but he may come back very quickly. Madhundapuri. Yes, yes. The devotees have no money, but they travel all over the world. That's just like this one, my one friend, she was in Oxford, and she was telling the landlord, you know, I can't pay the rent. I don't have enough money this month. And but next month I'm going, you know, to Australia. And the landlord's looking at her. What? you have no money for the rent, but you're going to Australia. And they don't. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't.
Somebody pays for
me. Yeah. They don't know if somebody pays. Me, I come with no money. I'm living in a beautiful house in Vrindavan. Yes. No. Yes. Kolavecha Sridhar. Okay, very poor but self-satisfied. That's a contradiction, yes. Story? Moscow Temple. Now we are in Moscow. Selling books to the leaders of companies. When Brahmachari is doing very nicely. So he was staying with the other brahmacharis in brahmachari dress in temple. When he would go out, he put very expensive business suit on. He had a very expensive BMW car, yeah. And he would get all these big donations going to the rich people.
Yeah, so once he was, he was brahmachari.
But he was brahmachari.
And policeman.
Once he was stopped by a policeman on the road.
Bribe.
Okay, the policeman saw here was a nice rich businessman. He was afraid to take a horse in India. They would be more encouraged. Okay, he was afraid to take a big bribe.
And he said, okay, you broke some rule, you know, you broke some bribe.
He told him, you broke some rule.
Yeah, and please give me 10 rubles, just 1/3 of the dollar.
Just give me 10 rubles.
Yeah, and then the brahmachari said, you know, I'm a monk,
And the brahmachari said to the policeman, I'm a monk, I'm just staying in the temple, I have no money.
No money to give you.
I have no money to give you. These very expensive sunglasses.
So then the policeman, he looked at him, looked at his car.
He looked at the guy, looked at his car.
And he said, but where did you get this
from? He said, well, where did you get all this car from? And
Brahmachari said, please forgive me. It's just whatever people give me.
He says, please forgive me. Whatever people give me, I take it and use for Krishna. The policeman lost his ability to speak. Contradiction, yes. Big contradiction. Yes, big contradiction. Wow, okay. This happens. I guess if the devotee is very... Yeah, who was it? It was Jayananda, right? Who picked a pair of pants from the shop. He stole one time. He stole a pair of pants from the shop and he was caught. And they took him to the police. And then he was saying to the court. And he was saying, please forgive me, but you know, all the money I give to my spiritual master. And you know, the court people were so moved by him. They said, okay, that's all right. Just go. Yes?
Actually, the manager.
The manager.
He was so inspired. He told me, whenever you need any pants in the future, just come.
So the manager of the shop said, anytime you need pants, just come and take next time. Yeah, anyway, it's devotees, by their purity, then they can be so contradictory, but they can get away with many things. Actually, I saw another contradiction in Russia with one devotee. Or maybe it wasn't a contradiction. His name was Yamraj. And he picked me up from the airport and was taking me to the temple. And his philosophy was that I'm a devotee, I don't have to follow any rules of the road. I was trying to preach to him, you know, you may be a devotee, but... So he was like going on the sidewalks. He was like, you know, and where people walk. You know, there was a line of cars and he didn't want to wait in the line, so he was going. Anyway, so we should not feel like that we're above the rules. And have contradictions like that. That's a real contradiction. Sometimes it happens. Anyway, another thing I thought of with Srila Prabhupada is hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose. And sometimes he was very angry and chastised, and sometimes, next minute, he'll be very soft. Yes?
Actually, in the Prachetas.
In the Prachetas. And Prabhupada says, the devotee never gets angry.
It's more tolerant than a tree.
Tolerant than a tree. He did use anger, but he didn't recommend for us to. Prabhupada can do a lot of. He could get away with a lot because of his age, because of his spiritual stature. And if we try to imitate what Prabhupada did, then we'll just get in trouble. Yes?
He didn't feel anger,
yes. He was just using it as a tool. Not like he was controlled by the anger. Anger was not controlling him. He was controlling the anger and using it as an instrument of purification for his disciples. Okay, verse 37. A rope causes fear for a bewildered person who considers it a snake, but not for a person with proper intelligence who knows it to be only a rope. Similarly, you as Supersoul in everyone's heart inspire fear or fearlessness according to one's intelligence, but in you there is no duality. So that's a really good analogy. It's a rope, but it may look at it like a rope or it may look like a snake according to how we see it. So the super soul, he's our friend. But he may, if we see him as enemy, then he appears as enemy. There's an example I thought of. Vivartavad and Parinamvad. Okay? Vivartavad, Yayatamam Prabhadyante. Yes, that's what Prabhupada says here in the purport. As one surrenders, I reward him. Yes? What is that? Parinamavad? And Brahman Parinamavad. Oh, Brahman turns into
something.
Yeah, okay.
That's an illusion.
Illusion. Oh, that's this verse. Okay. Okay, so this is Brahman turning into illusion, but actually it's Brahman. So in the same way we super souls in our heart, he may be a source of fear or he may be a source of fearlessness. And Prabhupada said that Supreme Lord is a reservoir of everything, including all knowledge, all truth, and all contradictions. A rope is one truth. Some mistake it for a snake, whereas others know it to be a rope. Similarly, devotees who know the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not see contradictions in him, but non-devotees regard him as a snake-like source of all fear. For example, when Shingadev appeared, Pralad Maharaj saw the Lord as the supreme solace, whereas his father, a demon, saw him as the ultimate death. So that's just like we heard an example yesterday of the conch shell. Somebody heard the conch shell, they thought, oh, this is horrible. I'm so afraid. Whereas the devotees hear and they like the sound very much. The ghosts, they run away. The devotees are happy to hear the conch shell. As stated in Bhagavatam, Bhayam Dvitiya Vinivesh-tasyat, fear results from being absorbed in duality. And one is in knowledge of duality, one knows both fear and bliss. Interesting. For fear and bliss. The Supreme Lord is a source of bliss to devotees and fear to non-devotees who have a poor fund of knowledge. So somebody was telling me they heard a class of Gopi Pranadana, and he was saying that fear is necessary if you live in this material world. To live in this world, all these things are necessary. You must have fear. If you're walking on the street and a big truck is coming, if you're not afraid, then you should be afraid. You should move out of the way if a big truck is coming. So, but the devotees, when they have fear, when they have these things, they know how to use it for Krishna. They know how to use it properly. They know how to use all these things for Krishna. So that's the difference. So God is one. People understand the absolute truth from different angles of vision. The unintelligent see contradictions in him, but sober devotees find no contradictions. So the problem is, Bharijan Prabhu says, we don't see things from Krishna's point of view. If we could see how Krishna sees everybody, then we would not see contradictions. Yes? Krishna's afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda. Yes. Krishna does have fear. He is also afraid of his mother. Yes. Yachakshuresha Savita Sakalagrahanang. The sun rotates in its orbit out of fear of Krishna. The wind blows, the sun shines, the rain pours forth showers. Yes?
From the Mayavadi class, but he's a kavi, but he's thinking then one male elephant.
Oh, yeah, that story.
He just brought the India.
There's one famous Mayavadi who says it's all one, Mayavadi poet. Because of his philosophy, he saw it all one. He saw the elephant coming. It's all one. He's one, I'm one. And the elephant trampled him, right? So that's what happens with the Mayavad philosophy. If it's all one, and he was a true believer in the Mayavad philosophy, So he got smashed by the elephant. Okay, yes, the elephant is God and I am God, so what's the difference? Yes, we have to have necessary fear. What should we be afraid of besides the truck and the elephant? Yes, fall down, right.
Maya.
Yes. Okay. Okay, in the 10th canto, there's a commentary by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur about Kamsa and the six sons of Devaki. Oh, Kamsa's personification of fear of material existence.
And the six sons personify the six anarthas, kama, krodha,
moha. Gotcha. So the six sons of Devaki personify the six anarthas, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, and matsari. Okay, so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, this demonstrates that our systematic nature of sadhana, that our fear of material existence destroys the six anarthas. Kam, Krodh, Lobh, as Kamsa destroys the six sons of Devaki.
So there, it plays a positive role.
So there, it's a positive. You can see it from a positive angle. That fear is good, fear of material existence destroys these six anarthas, as Kamsa destroyed the six sons of Devaki. Okay? Thank you. Verse 38. With deliberation, one will see that the Supreme Soul, although manifested in different ways, is actually the basic principle of everything. The total material energy is the cause of the material manifestation, but the material energy is caused by Him. Therefore, He is the cause of all causes, manifester of intelligence and the senses. He is perceived as the Super Soul of everything. Without Him, everything would be dead. You, as that Super Soul, Supreme Controller, are the only one remaining. So one thing, there's near the end of the purport, it said, Prabhupada says, according to various stages of intelligence, one realizes the presence of the Supreme in everything through the manifestations of His energy. The entire world is permeated by the three gunas, and one can understand His presence according to one's modes of material nature. So my question is, what are these various stages of intelligence of realizing the presence of the Lord in everything? What are these different stages of understanding, realizing the Lord, Lord's presence? Yes. Anamaya, pranamaya, vijnanamaya, jnanamaya, vijnanamaya, and ananamaya. Okay, that's what I thought also. Okay, or it could be through goodness, passion, or ignorance. You can understand, realize the Lord. So anamoya, they realize through food, that God is food, the baby. And the way they figure out if it's nice or not is when they test it by putting it in their mouth. Everything goes in the mouth for testing, to see if it's nice food. And then there's pranamoya, and that is eating, sleeping, mating, defending.
Symptoms of life.
Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And then there's jnanamoya. Jnanamoya is philosophical speculation, poetry, all these things. And vijnanamoya is realizing aham brahmasmi, I'm not the body. And then anandamoya is the actual realization of service to the Supreme Lord. Okay? So one thing I thought of when I read these verses is that we read in the 5th canto that some people, when they look at Shesha with his red eyes and rolling, they think he's angry. But actually, they're angry, so they see him as angry, Prabhupada says. Because they're angry, they think he's angry. Huh? Yeah, Mavan Madhatejagat. So they see, because they're angry, they see God is angry. Because they're afraid, they see God is fearful. So that's according to how we see. Yes. So I'll stop here. Any questions or comments or discussion on these points? Yes, Ayakurush. Comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. On verse 27. Okay, so there Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that they're mentioning all these avatars. So you always protect us. We've seen it, so we're not ashamed to ask for you to protect us now. Yeah, and so that is the commentary. Yes, they're asking. Definitely they want an incarnation. This is their idea of protection.
And then?
Then?
In their mind.
Paramahansas see the Lord in their mind. Samadhi.
So he's saying, and there it's,
the door of their ignorance is opened.
So he's saying, it's like they can see the Lord.
Okay, so the curtain is opened in the temple of their heart.
Chitta Mandir.
Oh, that's nice. Chitta Mandir, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, the Chitta Mandir, the curtain is open, and the Chitta Mandir. Govinda Mari Purusham. The temple door is open in the temple of your heart, Chitta Mandir, temple of your consciousness. Yes, any, Vanamali?
Verse 28.
28. Hari.
Huh?
There's a sloka about Lord Hari. Okay, if you chant Hari's name, fear and papa will run far away. That's why he came as Hari, because the demigods are afraid and he's going to drive away their fear. Yes.